I see y'all are expecting me to teach two entire books. You've left me all this time. Or either y'all plan to get out really, really early. I don't know which one. It's great to see you all. It always is. Grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ and the body at Grace Baptist Church. It's always an honor to be here and be part of your worship. The music's always excellent. Piano is always fantastic. I mean, when you where we are, and we're in a YMCA, we're in the middle of a gym, and that's okay. But you miss some of these things. Coming in and being quiet, and coming in and seeing reverence. And I mean, when our kids come in to our place, they think, "Wow, we're at the gym. Let's play." And we don't have some of the stuff that you guys have. So don't take it for granted. What a blessing, you know. And you guys who sing, and guys who play, and people who can play guitars and blow trumpets and all those good things, and you know. What a blessing you guys have. And it is to us, as we come and as we sit and as we listen to part of your worship, it's just it's great to be here. It always is. Again, I want to remind you, every week we pray for Southside Baptist Church. Every week. As leaders, as elders, as deacons, as a church body, we do not forget you guys. Even though we're up the street and we're not here all the time, we pray consistently for you guys individually, for your leaders, and for your pastor, all the time. So, please, when you think of us, and you think of even bad thoughts about us, then start praying for us, okay? Pray for us. We need it. We're still in a gym, been there for 4 years, growing slightly, growing deep, though. Lots of good things happening up our way, and so we are thankful for the grace that God has bestowed upon us. Exciting times. 1-1-2012. Wow. Guest speaker. That's high stuff when you get asked to come on 1-1-2012. I felt kind of special. I mean, a new year today. Wow. It's exciting. Okay? We all have a new start. We get to say, man, I can do it better this year. Freshness of new life. I'm going to change my ways this year. I'm going to create some really good habits. I'm going to set some great goals and some resolutions. And I'm just filled with optimism today. I hope that's the way you guys feel today. But on the other hand, 2012 holds many unknowns. It causes us to worry. It causes us to be nervous. It causes me especially to be anxious, fearful even in some ways of what does 2012 hold for us as a body, as a church, as individuals, in our marriage, for our kids. And some of us are filled with anything but optimism. That would be me. I'm a pessimistic kind of guy, and I hate it. I hate my nature. I am bent towards the second illustration, and definitely not the first one. Thank the Lord I got an optimistic wife, or our house would be sad. She has to kick me in sometimes. What does 2012 hold? What's going to happen? Even yesterday, we were at home and things were going well and taking down some Christmas decorations and get a phone call. And my wife's father was experiencing numbness on one whole side. He's a partial quadriplegic, been in a wheelchair for almost 40 or 50 years now, and was having numbness up his left side, which is his only good side, all the way up through his mouth, through his face, drawing of his thing, obviously experiencing possible stroke. Called 911, took him to the hospital, And it is a slight stroke, doing tests last night and today, this morning. And she's been up all night. And I thank her for coming and supporting me. So, Teddy Johnson, okay? If it runs in your mind the next couple of days, pray for him. He's down at Northeast right now, and we'll be stopping by there afterwards. But you just don't know, you know? You just don't. Yesterday was great. It was start a new year, and we were going to go home, and she was going to fix collard greens and what is it, black-eyed peas and all those things you're supposed to eat to get all this money the next year. And now there's nothing at our house. I'm going home with, what's that girl's name? Something Lynn? I couldn't help it. I'm anything but the optimist, okay? I'm a great encourager to others, but inside my soul, folks, it is a war, okay? I think too much, and I struggle with fear. So today, you've always heard a preacher say, man, I'm preaching to the choir, haven't you? Well, today, and I don't like to say preaching, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, and I'm not very good at this stuff, but today is for me, okay? It's the Word of God preaching to me, and I hope you get it, but I need it, and I need it over and over and over again. So because of the way I'm geared, I have searched for scriptures in the text that meet my need, okay? And they're all in there. Everything I need's in here. And you needs in here. So I search them for years to figure out what I need. And I've searched all the scriptures for the fear and stuff. And I've come across a couple that have really helped me. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have said that verse to myself hundreds and hundreds of times. When I feel myself going down that path, I slap, hey, wait a minute. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's one of them, and there's many. The second one is Isaiah 41:10. Now, this one's been on my dashboard of my van now for a year and a half, right in front of me, and I read it constantly. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now that's good stuff. Okay? And I have to constantly feed myself that stuff to get over this fear. So today, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to go through the first 10 verses. And we're going to stay mainly on verse 10 and back up. And I have the fewest number of pages here today that I've ever had when I've spoken. So somebody should say amen and hallelujah there, and we'll move on. Everybody there? Isaiah 41, verse 1 through 10. Keep silence before me, O coastlands. And let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him? And who made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust to his sword, has driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. The coastlands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of my Abraham, descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Now he stops and says, therefore, because of these things, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray right quick. Father, we come to you today with your word, Father, that is powerful and that is true and that will stand. When everything else has failed, Father, your word will stand. And Father, I pray today that you'll help me. Father, I'm weak and sinful and in a place that's not normal for me. And Father, fearful. Meet these people's needs through your words and not mine. Father, I pray for this body that today that these words would become real to them. Father, that it would encourage them, that it would give them grace and help them in order to have the right perspective for the coming days that you give us in this new year. Father, accomplish what you will. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's jump right straight to verse number 10. Verse 10 has two commands. Okay? First one, fear not. Second one, do not be dismayed. Now, do not be dismayed in the original means don't be anxious. Don't look around and get all jittery. Do not fear. Don't be anxious. Really one command. God says, don't fear. Okay? God does not want us to fear. Now, in the Bible, God doesn't just give us a command and just leave it out there. He doesn't say, don't fear, and you guys go do it. He supports it. He supports every command in Scripture with reasons. Okay? Now, understanding and believing these reasons give us comfort and the power to accomplish the command. He's going to give a command. He's going to support it. And if we understand and believe that support system, then we can do the command. Okay? Got me? Okay. We're going to build today. Okay? We've always liked to build at our house, especially Legos through the years. Now he's grown up and he don't want to build Legos with me anymore. So I'll miss those days. But we build. We're going to build a bridge today. Okay? And this bridge is the command. Okay? God says, do not fear. Now, personally, I'm on this side of the bridge. I'm fearful. God's saying, cross the bridge to a life of fearlessness. Okay? That's the command. He's telling me to move on and do not fear. And I'm not on the end of the bridge. Sometimes I'm in the middle. Sometimes I'm further over, and sometimes I'll fall back. But somewhere I'm on the bridge. I haven't crossed over yet. Okay? Under this bridge, what do we have to have a bridge? It doesn't just sit out there in space and we just walk over. You're not going to go across a body of water unless it's got what? Man, support beams. Big ones. Especially if it's a long bridge and you start over. You want to know what's down there, right? You're not just going to cross over. So under this bridge of do not fear is the support or the pillars that God gives us, these reasons that support this command. And there's five of them. Don't fear, because I am with you. Don't fear, because I am your God. I am going to strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you. God is supporting this command He's given us to not be afraid, do not fear, with these support beams, which are actually Himself. He's saying, go across the bridge. Don't fear, because I'm under it. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your God so you can walk across the bridge and not fear. It's supported with the I ams, the I wills, and the I'm going to. Now, today, if you're a believer in here, I can look at you and say, God is with you. God is going to help you. God's going to be under you and uphold you. Okay? God's going to strengthen you, so there's no need to fear. My problem is believing that, right? Living in that. Okay? Now, the key to overcoming fear is resting and believing the promises of God. I have to believe it. These support beams, which are God, are under this command for me to believe. Now, we have a bridge. Do not fear. Cross over. It's supported by these five big pillars, okay, which are God. But these pillars have to be anchored in something, or they're just gonna, you're not going to quite go across the bridge. Verses 1 through 9 give us this foundation. So let's look at it quickly. Okay? These are the foundations, the cement, the massive support beams rest on, supporting the command, do not fear. If the key to fearlessness is believing that God is with you, and God is your God, and He will strengthen you and help you and uphold you, then you need to know who this God is. Okay? Is the foundation strong enough to support these pillars so I can say, I'm not afraid? Okay? Four examples in verses 1 through 9. Everybody with me? Nobody can sleep except my wife. She's been up all night. She's already heard this 10 times. Verse 1, keep silent before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Now, this keep silence before me, O coastlands, this lands represents nations. The Lord is challenging these nations who refuse Him. These nations who are building idols. These nations who refuse to come to Him. He's telling them, okay, you nations, gather up all your strength. Get your people all together. Get your people all together and come before me. Okay? And make a case for yourself. Come before me in my courtroom. See, the nations will not be judged by themselves. Eventually, the nations will be judged by God in God's courtroom. And the first foundation under these pillars is that God's promise that He is the judge of all the earth. He's calling these nations to judgment. God doesn't give an account to the nations. The nations give an account to God. He's in control. He's the ultimate judge. They are on trial here, and He's going to judge all and pass sentence on every person. So the first cement down here is the God who is with you, the God who will strengthen you, is the judge of all. He's the judge. He will ultimately judge. Verses 2 and 3. Ask a bunch of questions. Who raised up the one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust to the sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely? By the way, he had not gone with his feet. What's going on here is God saying, who raised up this one from the east? It's probably Cyrus. In Isaiah 45, you'll see God raised up a king to come and defeat the Babylonians. And He's saying, who raised that ruler up? Who caused him to come against the Babylonians? Who caused him to just wipe those people out with his sword as they were dust? Who causes all these things to take place? Who raises up kings? Who puts people in power? Who is in control and sovereign over all? God is. God does this. The God of Isaiah is the ruler of all the rulers, of the presidents, of the kings, of anybody who has power. It is given to them by God. So, the God who is the judge of all is now the ruler of all. And He's the one who is with you and says, I'm going to help you. Don't fear. I'm going to help you. I'm the judge of all. I'm the ruler of all the rulers. I put kings in place and I separate them when I want to. I put presidents in the White House when I want them to. I'm in control of what's going on for my reasons, my purposes. You don't fear because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to uphold you. That's number two. The third one is in verse 4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first and with the last and He. Isaiah asked, who accomplished all these things? Who did it? Who's got all this going on? Who caused all the generations to come into being? And then he answers it. He says, I did. I did it all. I'm from beginning to end, first to last, never ceasing. I did it. Who made you? Who made everything? Psalms 100 verse 3 says, know you that the Lord is God, as He hath made us, and not we ourselves. God created everything. Genesis 1:1, Exodus 20:11, God made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. So this God, who is the judge of all, He's the ruler of all, He's the creator of all, He is saying, I'll uphold you. I'll uphold you with my victorious, righteous right hand. So do not fear. God, that's good stuff, ain't it? I just keep telling us, hey, there's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. That God who judges all, rules all, created all, He said here in the Scripture, He will be with me. Yet I fear. What's wrong with me? You're supposed to say nothing. I'm crazy. I'm a bad guy. I just struggle there. I want to believe. That's why I keep teaching myself these things. I keep throwing them in there. The last one, a little harder to get. 5-7. Now listen, 5-7, 8-9. Two different types of people in this last foundation that holds these big pillars in. Okay? Two pictures. The first one's in 5-7. The coastlands saw it. Now the coastlands represent who again? The nations. Okay? The nations saw it and they feared. They're afraid. The ends of the earth, all the earth's afraid. So they come near and came. Every one of them helped his neighbor. Come on, nations. Let's get together. I know we're afraid. I know we're scared. Come on, let's get together. Let's encourage each other. Let's help each other. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Okay? Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. Don't get scared. It's all right. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith, and him who soothed the hammer inspired the one who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. They're making idols. They're talking amongst themselves and saying, we can do it. We can do it. It's going to be okay. There's no need to be feared. No need to get afraid. It's going to be all right. Then they fasten them with pegs that it might not totter. We have one nation trying to encourage themselves, trying to help themselves, that their gods, little g, are strong and sufficient enough to meet their needs and cause them not to fear. They're trying to convince themselves that everything's okay. It's a picture of the unregenerate, unsaved nations of the world convincing themselves that their gods are adequate to meet their needs and to calm their fears. Now, put that picture against this next picture, 8-9. But you, O Israel, are my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Two different types of people. The nations doing it their way. And then God's people that He's chose for Himself. God calls a people unto Himself according to Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So you got one picture of the nations trying to help themselves. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. We got our little gods we're making. We don't have to fear. And then you got another group that says, you're mine. I called you unto myself. I made you myself, your God, and you're my people. You're my children. I called you out of darkness into light. Gosh, the God who chose you is the ruler of all, judge of all, created all, and now He's brought you into Himself. And He says what? Do not be afraid. Do not fear what's coming, 2012. The judge of all the nations, the one who makes the rulers, who rules the rulers of the world, who calls creation and people and nations into being, and calls and chooses a people for Himself, says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Therefore, Jimmy, don't fear, man. Don't fear. I don't want to fear. If I believe that, how can I fear? I don't know what 2012 holds. I have no idea. But I'm bent to the bad. If this is the good that's going to happen in 2012, and this is the bad, this is how I stand. And I have to get the Scripture and say, whoa, wait a minute. Remember this? The judge of all, ruler of all, one who chooses, creates all. He's for me. And it pulls me back over here. It gets me back over here. Now, some of your students in here, you can't wait to get back to school. It's going to be a tough semester. And there's going to be some big tests. And a lot of pressures in life's decisions on what you should do around your friends. Do not fear. Some of you got an interview this coming year that will change your life. It's coming. Do not fear. Some of you say, if my marriage gets any worse than it was last year, I can't take it. God says, do not fear. I created all this. Come to me. Some of you are trying to conquer some addictions. We have three or four folks we know very well, high esteemed up in our area, who are in treatments right now for prescription drugs. You'd have never imagined it. They're fighting for it. I sent them a card the other week and said, you know what's on my heart now? Do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. Maybe it's anger you're dealing with. Maybe men, it's the computer. Can be a fantastic thing, but it can be the nastiest thing in the world. Okay? It's your eyes. Some of us will lose our job this year. Some of us will get a new job. All of us who have children. And I know all you folks have children, no matter how old you are. Man, we're concerned about our children, aren't we? Where they're going, what they're doing, what kind of decisions they're going to make. God says, hey, I'm the judge of the all. I'm the ruler of all. Put them in my hands. Don't fear. Pray for them. Maybe you've been told this year or asked this year to do something fantastic at Southside. And you say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, guys, I can't preach. I'm scared to death, even now. And we're 20 minutes into this thing. You can. What does God say? Do not fear. Go knock on a door. Go help a neighbor. Teach a class. Do something. Make an impact in somebody else's life. Oh, I just can't do it. I'm so scared. Yes, you can. Do not fear. How big is your God? How's the bridge? It's supported by the pillars. And how great is this cement in the bottom? It's pretty good. Some of us will have serious health problems this year. And death will touch a lot of our families. And maybe even some of us. But God says what? Do not fear. Some of us will have our first middle school basketball game this year. And I will say as he goes out the door, Isaiah 41:10, son. I don't care if it's an air ball. I don't care if you're sitting on the bench. I don't care if you score 25 points. Do not be afraid. Now, you'll be scared to death. But I'm putting it in him because I don't want him to stand where I am and lean this way. I want him to grow up and stand lean this way. I don't want him over here. It's my nature. I want him over here. So I'm pouring them into him because I just started pouring them into me too late. Don't fear, young man. Don't fear. He's my son. God wants us to live a life of fearlessness. Now, I'm going to tell you a victory story because I've been pretty pessimistic about me. I'm a pretty bad guy. I lean this way and I'm fearful for everything. October the 31st, we sent our daughter to the hospital with terrible rib problems because that baby was kicking her in there and we thought we had broken ribs. We're about 2 weeks before delivery and She gets down there and can't breathe. And Coach Lori goes with her. I stay home with basketball player. And we think everything's going to be okay. And a couple hours later, Lori calls and says the heart rate of the baby is out of this world. And they can't find on the, what do you call them things you do? Ultrasounds, that the baby's breathing. You can only see that it's breathing through its mama. It's not breathing on its own. And she calls me at home and says, you need to get down here. Now, at that moment, what enters my life? Fear. And I can feel it. It starts and I can feel it coming up in my soul. And I immediately this time said, Isaiah 41:10. And I went through it all. And I started telling myself, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Called my son downstairs and said, we're going to the hospital. And things may not be as we had hoped. So be prepared. God may want to do something fantastic through a very difficult situation. God does that now. Just because I'm not going to fear and claim Isaiah 41 still does not mean good outcome. God does what He wants to for His own plans and purposes, and my job is to trust Him. So we head to the hospital, and Isaiah 41:10 is on my dash, and we're doing it over and over. And when we get down there, man, we started natural labor, and the heart rates dropped tremendously. And it's normal. And we sleep all night on a hospital floor, wrapped up with each other, waiting. And the next morning at 10 o'clock, we became grandparents of a healthy boy, 8 pounds, Griffin Cole Hooks. Now, I didn't tell you that to say everything turns out great. I told you that to say, in the midst of difficulty lately, I've ran to the right things. But it's because I'm programming myself. Because where I'm leaning over. I need somebody around me who's a positive person who says, hey, come back over here. And Isaiah 41:10 does that. It does it for me. It does it for my son. It does it for my family. And it'll do it for you. And there may be other ones. You may find one and say, that's not mine. But this one here is. Because you will need it. Sometime down the road, you will need it. Fear will creep in. And you'll have to rest on God's words. Now, we're about done and we're early and everybody's happy and I didn't cry too bad. If you didn't get it, if you haven't got it, one other way that maybe you will, because I want you to get it. Now, this is not me. If anything really great comes from up here, it's because I read it somewhere. Okay, I just read other people's stuff. Great old people. Most of them are dead. And then pray. I mean, I'm not very good. He's not very good. He's not any good. And the guy who's traveling back today, he's not worth a... Get that on tape. He's reading too. And God's working in us. And then we share what we have. Right? Okay, He knows there's no good in Him. He told me when I walked in there was no good in me. So let's take the bridge again. It's the fear bridge. And it's supported by these beams loaded in cement. It's strong. It's secure. Okay, but let's make the beams, these pillars up, let's make them not beams. Let's make them relational things. So I want you to get this. Okay. If we take the one and says, I am your God, that's the first beam. That shows us that God is up here and we are down here. So God is over you. Okay? You get fear, just remember, God is over me. I am with you. With you would be by your side. When I walk around and my wife's on my arm, I'm thinking, look at that. That's my wife. She's on my side. Okay? God is over you. God is beside you. I will strengthen you. Now, strength comes from where? In here. Holy Spirit. We have it. So, God is now over you. He's beside you. And He's in you. Okay? I will help you. Where, whatever anger, fear comes, it can come from all different angles and all different places. God's all around, seeing it coming, reflecting it. If it comes from over here, He's got it. If it comes from down under, He's got it. So now He is over you. He's beside you. He's in you. And He's all around you. And last, He says, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. What you standing on? He's under you. So, when you start to fear, and you think of Isaiah 41, and you say, well, I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what's on his dashboard, and it's really not even him. I just know it's in Isaiah, and I'm not supposed to fear. Think, God's over me. He's beside me. He's in me. He's all around me, protecting me. And I'm standing. He is holding me up. Over you, by your side, inside you, around you, and underneath you. God commands us not to fear. And He doesn't say do it by yourself. He's loaded it with massive promises in a firm foundation. And that foundation is the character of God. It's just God, folks. You can't do it. He can do it. John 14:1 and 27 says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Trust in God. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that You'd move. I pray that You'd change hearts. Father, I thank You that Your Word is true, and it's ministered to my heart this morning. And even before I came through the study, and Father, I thank You for these people and their attentiveness and to listening. Father, I don't know where they are, and they don't know where I am, but we're all in some sort of difficulty in some way. And Father, if we're not, we praise You that we're not. But Lord, we know we will be sometime in this new year if you give us life. Father, I pray that you help us to, if it's not Isaiah 41 or if it's not 2 Timothy 1:7, Father, that You'll give these people Your Word, somewhere in Your Word that will strengthen them. Father, You are with us. Father, You are upholding us. Father, You are our God. You will help us, strengthen us. You are all around us. Father, help us to sense it. Help us to read it and believe it. Help us to believe. Father, make these people strong people. Cause them to do things this year that they would have never thought of before, not because of who they are, but because of who You are. Father, we'll put all that happens today in the people's hearts in Your hands. In Your name we pray. Amen.